Good morning. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this morning that we can come together and just gather as your people, come together and gather and just hear your word, Lord, and just pray for your people. So Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit comes into this room, Lord, that you'll guide my words, Lord, and that you will just speak to each and every one of us individually. In your name we pray. Amen. So we turn to Nehemiah 8, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Nehemiah 8, verses 1 through 10. And all the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate from early morning until midday. In the presence of men and women, those who could understand and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattiatha, Shema, and Anahai, Uri, Hikahai, that's a whole bunch of names. Messiah on the right hand, and Padiah, Mishael, Melika, Hashem, Hashabedon, Zariah, and Meshullam on the left hand. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. While lifting up their hands, then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, Benai, Sherebi, Jimin, Ichabod, Shebetha, Horai, Masai, Kelita, Ezrai, Jozabad, Henan, Peleah, the Levites, explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. They read from the book from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send the portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So there's just a few things I want to point out from this passage. And it wouldn't have been my go-to message, but this morning, actually, there was a song playing in my head over and over and over again. And I was like, where is this from in the Bible? And it's the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so I started reading up on it. And this actually, even though it's a lot of lists of names, there's a lot of depth to this passage. And so Nehemiah is the one who comes back and he rebuilds the wall. They were in exile. Now they're coming home back to Jerusalem. And so a lot of things people are learning for the first time. I don't know if any of you have ever been away a lot of us don't live in our home country right now. But for those of you, if you've been away for a while, you know, you come home and you can have two types of greeting, right? The greeting of no one being there and you just kind of slip in and you'll hear stories of missionaries who come home to their home countries and no one is there to greet them. And it's kind of this letdown. Or when you go home and there's people and, you know, like my uncle and aunt were missionaries for many years and we would be there. And I mean, my mom is one of 13 kids. So you just bring that whole family together and it is a big party in general. I mean, family Christmas is close to 100 people and that's just my first cousins and aunts and uncles. And but a huge party and it makes you feel welcome. And I feel like God was doing a welcoming party, right? And he was teaching them more about who he was. I'm bringing them home after being away for years and years. You know, like these people had never been there. And so in this moment, they're asking Ezra to read the law. So that should first make you realize something's going on, right? And what's going on is the Holy Spirit is clearly at work. They're asking for the law to be read. It's not like Ezra's like, I'm going to read the law to you, but they're coming. Read it. And that makes you think, and I was reading an article about this, and it was saying that those Whenever the word of God is being read, and when people come together to ask for the word of the Lord to be read, Holy Spirit is at work. You do not need to question that. Yes, maybe check your circumstances, but when there's a group of people who are desperately wanting to hear God's word, don't question if God's at work. You can see what God is doing. You can try to figure out what's happening, but God is at work. Another thing that just now as I was reading it again, what struck me was men and women. For some reason, the Bible is being very particular to state it wasn't just men, right? Like if you know about the temple, only the men were allowed to go inside, right? To be in the worship centers at this time, only men would be there. But we're making a point here that women were also included. The Holy Spirit was working in their lives, and Scripture was also for them. It was talking about for those who would understand. And that's one of the things is we often wonder if those who we are preaching to, speaking to, understand what is being said. Now, Noah's Ark's very interesting because I've started this new thing where after our worship service upstairs, I end up doing a 5-10 minute mini sermon. Sometimes it's a little bit longer, especially if I have the younger kids not in the room. 9 a.m., it works quite well because the youngest kid's about 4 or 5. Oldest kid's about 11. So even though 4 and 5-year-olds don't always get what I'm saying, they can usually sit through it. They can get a little bit. But 11:30, our service is structured slightly different. And our youngest kid is not even 3 yet. That kid has no, I won't say who they are. There's a few of them. They have no idea what I'm talking about. Not a clue. They sit there and they're running around. It's quite great to see the older kids come and grab them and have them sit on their laps now. So they're learning, at least they're learning some responsibility. And oftentimes I question, okay, do they understand what I'm saying? The answer is probably no, not the 2.5-year-olds. But as I was reading through this, it's not actually as important for me to make sure the 2.5-year-old is understanding because the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to do it. The Holy Spirit's going to be the one that teaches, and the ones that are supposed to hear, the ones who are supposed to understand, will hear and will understand. It's been a great challenge to have to tweak and try to reach an 11-year-old and a 2.5-year-old at the same time. It ends up with a lot of food object lessons, and hopefully they grab something. But it's a reassurance that even when you guys are speaking to people on the street or your family members, or your colleagues, it's not your responsibility for them to understand the Bible. It's your responsibility to present it in a way that they could understand it, but that the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to open their eyes to hear. It's the Holy Spirit who's going to be doing the work. Now, that's not a pass saying, hey, doesn't matter how I present it, Holy Spirit's going to do his job, because later on you see in verse... later on in there it says how the people on his left and his right were then going and making sure and teaching so people understood. So it is important that you teach in a way that people can understand. It is important that we know the word of God so we can go to people and explain to them, this is what God is teaching. This is how God's teaching. This is what this means, right? But to remember, it's the Holy Spirit who's going to open their eyes to really understand. It's the Holy Spirit who's the one who's guiding them. And it's the Holy Spirit that brought each and every one of us to this room this morning. And so that we need to really lean on the Holy Spirit to see where he's at work and trust that he's at work every time we come to a gathering and pray that he'll be at work. And the last part I really want to talk about is verse 9 and 10. I'm just going to reread that. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were taught, the people said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And oftentimes we think about when we are confronted with our sin, right? When they're reading the law, they're recognizing, maybe, I don't know, like maybe some people heard the law for the very first time, but they're recognizing all of their sin. They're recognizing the things they haven't done, the things they still need to do. And they're grieved and they're weeping. But God is saying, yes, be aware of your sin, but I have overcome that sin. My joy is your strength. Identify your sin, repent of your sin, and find joy in God. I think oftentimes we get so consumed with our sin that we can't find joy in God. You know, like when you meet someone and you're talking to them and they're just crying and they're like, "Oh, I've done this wrong, I've done this wrong, I've done this wrong, I've done this wrong." What you need to say to them is not to condemn them. Clearly, they're already condemning themselves enough. It's to give them God's joy. Let them know that this is not how God sees them and this is not how God wants us to live. And I also think that's for ourselves. You know, when we think every time we mess up or every time we do something that we know is not pleasing to God, or we hurt our spouse or we hurt our children, our coworkers, if it doesn't bother you, maybe that's something we need to address in another time. It should bother you a bit. This isn't a free pass. I can do whatever I want and have God's joy. But when you've gone to God and you've repented and you're aware of that sin, there should be a joy that takes place. We should be a place where people are excited because we come and we know there's freedom to be found. And so when we think of the Lord is our strength and the joy of the Lord is our strength, yes, that means that in our workplace and all of that, but the joy comes from knowing that we are forgiven. The joy comes from knowing that we can be made whole in Him and that we don't have to stay stuck in our sin. And so this morning, I'm going to ask Janella to come up. I just want you guys to think about, is there anything in your life that is holding you back from having God's joy, His complete joy? Is there anything that is making, there's something in your heart that you just can't let go of? And just go to God before Him and ask Him just, you know, it's a sin you haven't actually repented of. So, I mean, that's the first thing. Just repent of it wholeheartedly. And then the second thing is to ask God to take it off of you, to ask God to pull it off of you. And the third is to ask God for His joy, to find your joy, to find your strength in Him this morning and for today and this week. And just allow God to nurture you and to allow God to make it a party in your heart with Him, that you can walk out of this room just with a smile on your face, not because of anything you did, but because you know that God loves you and that God wants to take away all that sin, all that guilt or shame, and He really wants to restore you today.
Deep.
if we can spend the next little a bit of time just praying for those in our community. So if we could first lift up those who have cancer, lift up their families, and just also those who are going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's just pray for the healing, God's healing hand in their lives and in their spirits. Also, Yvain, she's one of our sisters who is now in Singapore. Her mom is having surgery today. She has cancer. So if we could actually just lift her up right now. Just really lift up Yvain, her mom, and her entire family as her mom. And that for the doctors, that the doctors will be able to get all the cancer and that there will be nothing left. Let's lift up those who are sick but also need salvation. Let's just pray for God to heal them physically and that they can find Him as well. And let's lift up those who are suffering from other infirmities. Let's just pray for God to be their healer and for them to find relief today. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters who are looking for jobs, that God will bring them to the job that He's appointed for them, a place where they can minister to those who are around them, and that in this waiting season that God will just be their provider. Turn to our mission focus, and let's lift up Hong Kong today. Let's lift up the government, the wealth gap. Pray for revival. Let's pray for the churches, Sports Service International, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, Mother's Choice, the Hong Kong Korean Church, and Hong Kong students. Let's actually really lift up Hong Kong students as exam season is starting for, I think some schools are finishing for their seniors, but a lot of schools are starting in the next few weeks. So really pray for them during this time. Let's lift up the staff, especially P-Nate as he is leading sessions at a YWAM base. And so this week, so just pray that God will give him wisdom and discernment as he's teaching this week. Also just pray for us to have unity, wisdom, and discernment and in the office and with each other. Let's lift up the hospitality teams, welcoming with P. Andrew and barista with Ashley. And also just a sense that pray that we will become a church that's known as loving and open and welcoming to those who enter. Lift up our worship and sound teams led by P. Nate and the AV team by P. Kenny. Let's just pray for them to have a heart of worship and excellence. Let's lift up our house churches, Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, Lion Rock, OPR, Soho, TST, and Westville. Let's just pray for God's Spirit to already be in their places, that their people will, just pray that people will be open and willing to share, and that, that God's Spirit will just really lead and guide them tonight. we could also lift up SP Singapore today. One of their members passed away yesterday from a battle of cancer. So we could just lift them up, lift up the family, just that God will be there to comfort them. So if we could just lift up SP Singapore, the church, the family, PCM Kim, and everyone else who will be counseling and just walking alongside this family. So God, we just thank you for today. We just thank you for this chance to come and worship you, this chance to come and meet with you, Lord, this morning. And we just ask that you will just give each of us the wisdom for today, the discernment, the love for today, Lord. And I just ask that, your presence will be felt so just heavy on each of every one of us in this room, Lord, that we will just know that you are walking with us this morning. So Lord, we thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Just enjoy the rest of your day and have a great one.